Isn't a question of that, Helen. Alex would love to make a speech for the PTA, but I don't think he's free on Thursday afternoon.
Oh, I hope he will be. The subject of parent-child relations is so important,
and Alex would make an ideal speaker. Well, he'll be very flattered by your invitation, but you better not count on him. I think you ought to start thinking about someone else in case he can't make it.
I have thought about it, and I have somebody in mind.
Oh, good.
Who is it?
You? You're not serious.
Well, of course I'm serious. What's so funny?
What makes you think I'm qualified to speak on that subject?
Well, you're a doctor's wife, and you've been a nurse. And most important, you're a mother. That should qualify you.
No, I'm afraid not.
You made a wonderful report at the PTA meeting last month.
Well, but that was on bicycle safety. I knew what I was talking about. I researched the subject, and besides, Jeff helped me.
Well, I've got to dash. You research this subject. Get Alex to help you.
I'm going to concentrate on what I can do best, talking Alex into doing it.
If her temperature stays normal for 24 hours, she can go out tomorrow afternoon. Anytime, Mrs. Ewing, anytime. Don't hesitate. Anytime, Mrs. Stone. Anytime.
I'm sorry to bother you, dear, but are you going to be free next Thursday afternoon?
I'll be at the clinic Thursday afternoon.
Oh, well, it's Helen Brooks, and she wants you to speak at a PTA meeting on parent-child relationships.
Oh, can't she find someone to pinch hit for me?
Well, she already has someone in mind.
Who?
Me? What do you mean by that?
Nothing, nothing.
Well, after all, I am a doctor's wife, and I've been a nurse, and most important, I'm a mother, which is pretty good training in this particular field.
The best.
I could research the subject, and after all, I do have a few ideas of my own which seem to work pretty well with our children.
I can't quibble with that.
And if the committee thought enough of me to invite me, I certainly ought to give it serious consideration.
Well, of course, dear, sure. What are you rushing to?
To tell Helen Brooks that I will give that talk before the PTA. If we want our teenagers to become responsible adults, we must give them responsibility. We cannot keep them perpetually hemmed in by a wall of do's and don'ts and expect them to learn to make decisions on their own in a confident, intelligent manner. Now, I know that teenage life sometimes seems filled with perils. Teenage life seems filled with hazards. Yes, hazards. Filled with hazards. And none of us is immune from the occasional worrisome thought that a wrong decision by an adolescent youngster might be costly. Now, to such worriers, I say, have faith. Have faith.
You look so profound with that lecture hall expression. Where'd you get these ideas?
From a book in your office written by a man you said was the outstanding authority in his field.
Oh.
Hi! Can I have a $2 advance on my allowance?
Well, what do you want it for?
Do I have to tell you? It's kind of personal.
Well, certainly. The Hilldale Bank doesn't make loans without asking questions.
On the other hand, the Stone Loan and Trust Company looks at it quite differently. We emphasize the trust part.
Well, your credit must be awfully good, young man. No collateral or anything?
One, two.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure doing business with you. Bye!
Well, I see you're applying what you learned in the book to what is sometimes known as the crucible of life.
Well, what's wrong with that?
One book does not an education make, Donna.
Darling, the book only made me understand what I'd already learned from experience.
Darling, all I want to do is point out that addressing a group of mothers on the subject of their children is a pretty delicate matter. You know, every mother has her own... Dr. Stone speaking.
To such worriers, I say, have faith. Not blind faith, but a reasonable, intelligent confidence based on the fact that your child has already absorbed your moral values and judgments during the 12 or 14 or 16 years he or she has spent living with you. Now, arbitrary despotism by the parent is a challenge flung at the teenage spirit, urging it to rebel. You won't get into such a situation if you ask yourself the question, do you trust your child?
For me? Gee, thanks. What'd I do?
Jeff, it's for Mother, in case she needs some cheering up after her speech.
You think it was a bomb, huh?
Oh, of course not. We just thought she might be a little nervous from the strain. That we ought to be considerate of her feelings if she comes home a little jumpy.
Okay, Dad. You can count on me to turn on my sunny personality.
What do you take to turn it off, James?
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, coffee. How thoughtful of you.
Was it a bomb, Mom?
Well, I don't think so, Jeff. I think it went very well.
Then I guess you can do without my sunny personality. I'll just take this piece of cake.
Here. Yeah.
Really? You think it was successful, huh?
Oh, yes, dear. Why are you so surprised?
Well, I think that's wonderful, Mother.
I'm not surprised. I'm delighted. Sit still. I'll get it.
Well, who made the coffee?
I did.
Dr. Stone speaking. Oh, yes, Mrs. Ryan. Yes, just a moment, please. Mrs. Ryan.
Yes, thank you. Hello, Mrs. Ryan. Oh, why, thank you. You did? Well, of course, I was nervous. Really? Well, thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Mary, would you please?
Yes, Daddy.
Thank you, dear.
Hello?
Well, any of the mothers challenge your authority?
Challenge?
Hello, Mrs. Johnson.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean that possibly
Mother, it's for you.
Oh, thank you, dear. Excuse me. Hello? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Yes, I saw you. I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to talk. Oh, thank you. Thank you for calling. Bye. Oh. Well, how nice of you to have coffee and cake for me. Whatever made you think of it?
Inspiration. Sheer inspiration.
That's probably for me.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Hello. Yes, Lillian. You did? Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, hello, Helen. How are you?
I'm fine, Alex, but I'm worried about Nancy.
Nancy? Well, come on to the office. We'll talk it over.
Well, actually, I came to see Donna.
Donna?
Yes, I want to consult her about Nancy.
Oh, well.
Hello, Helen.
Oh, Donna, I must talk to you.
Well, of course. Come right in, dear.
And so I've been out of my mind with worry. And when I heard your speech yesterday, I knew that you were the one who could help me.
Well, Helen, now tell me, what's happened to Nancy?
A boy named Leonard.
Oh, Helen, we mothers can't let ourselves get upset every time our girls get a new crush.
But you don't know Leonard. He's like nothing you have ever seen or heard. I don't pretend to understand him myself, but every instinct tells me that he's wrong for Nancy.
Well, now, does Nancy know how you feel about him?
Yes. And it doesn't matter to her at all. Leonard has her hypnotized.
Oh, Helen, I'm sure you're exaggerating.
Leonard is an exaggeration. She has a date with him tonight. And I've been thinking of locking her up in her room so she can't get out.
Tonight? Well, I think she has a double date with Marion Herbert. So you see, you have nothing to worry about.
You have nothing to worry about. Mary's date's with Herbert. Nancy will be with Leonard.
Oh, how can I get her to stop seeing that boy? Helen,
It's just a question of whether or not you really believe what I said in my speech. The more you oppose Leonard, the more Nancy will cling to him. Now, just give her an evening with him, with your blessings and without the glamour of being forbidden, and she'll find out that Leonard is just another boy.
I suppose it's the sensible thing to do, but...
But what?
I hope it works.
Oh, of course it'll work.
Well, thanks, Donna. Bye.
Bye, Helen.
I hope so, too. Darling, have you considered the possibility that things might not work out exactly as you promised Helen Brooks?
Well, the advice I gave her was perfectly sound.
Yeah, well, sometimes unpredictable elements have a way of double-crossing the soundest advice.
Oh, that must be Nancy Brooks and her date.
Well, I look forward to meeting this young man who makes Helen's blood run cold and her daughter's warm.
Hello, Nancy. Come
in. Hi, darling. I'm Mrs. Stone. This is Leonard Glenn. Leonard, this is Mrs. Stone.
How do you do, Leonard?
Good evening, Mrs. Stone. Mrs. Stone, are you nearsighted?
Why, no, I'm not.
Really? I have a theory. Incidentally, Mrs. Stone, you have very beautiful eyes.
Well, thank you.
My theory is that there's a correlation between what we consider beautiful in the female eye and nearsightedness. That is the very handicap of being able or not being able to see distant objects gives the eye the soft focus look that we consider beautiful.
Leonard has lots of theories.
He does? Well, come on in. Alex, this is Leonard Glenn.
Leonard?
Dr. Stone.
How do you do, sir?
Hello, Nancy. Sit down.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stone.
Darling. Well, Leonard, sit down.
Oh, no, sir, I'd prefer to stand. I understand you practice medicine, sir.
Yes, I do.
I enjoy meeting physicians. I find them generally fascinating conversationalists.
Well, thank you, Leonard. I can think of a few who would make you change your mind.
Oh, I imagine there are exceptions, sir, but... But as a group, I believe that physicians are on a higher intellectual level than any other profession.
Thank you, Leonard.
That's why the backwardness of medical science is so appalling.
It's true that there are still unanswered questions, but there have been some advances.
Conventional medicine is based on the mass murder of germs.
Never quite struck me that way.
But it is an original thought.
And who has ever proved that the germ is the culprit?
Well, a man named Louis Pasteur made a pretty good start in that direction.
But, sir, aren't you forgetting Lopez?
Lopez?
Pennington Lopez. He's completely disposed of Pasteur and his theories. I'd be only too pleased, sir, to lend you my copy of the complete works of Pennington Lopez. It might open new horizons.
Well, that's very kind of you, Leonard, but...
Leonard, that... His face, it's very old. I wouldn't want it broken.
Of course, Mrs. Stone. That was a very interesting thing you just said.
It was?
Well, you said that that vase was very old, and you implied that its age made it more important to you than if it had just been in your home for a few days. It's a common fallacy to assume that age confers values on persons and things.
Pennington Lopez?
Well, sir, that's my own. I believe I've gone beyond Lopez in that area.
Well, Leonard, I hope you place some value on wisdom that comes from age and experience.
I believe, Mrs. Stone, what you're talking about is maturity rather than years. Do you know how old Juliet was?
Juliet who?
Juliet Capulet.
Well, is that the skinny blonde who...
No, Shakespeare's Juliet. She was 14 years old.
Well, that was just a play, remember, a work of fiction.
And remember, too, how badly things turned out for Juliet and Romeo.
Because of the immature behavior of their families.
Leonard is reading the Encyclopedia Americana from Abinre to Zymotic.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Leonard, this is Mary.
Hi, Leonard.
How do you do, Mary?
We have to stop and pick up Herbie. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. been a very pleasant evening, sir.
Oh, it's very nice meeting you, Leonard.
Well, have a good time, girl.
Oh, thank you, Mother. We will. Good night, Mommy.
Good night, sweetheart. Good night, Eddie.
Good night, honey.
See you all later.
Night, Nancy. Night.
Night, Nancy.
Oh, it might interest you to know that my mother wasn't much older than Juliet when she eloped with my father.
That's all.
Good night, Dr. Stone.
Good night, Leonard.
Mrs. Stone.
Good night, Leonard.
Is he for real? Is he something out of science fiction?
What do you mean by that last comment and all that talk about Juliet being 14? Alex, you don't suppose he and Nancy would do anything as crazy as eloping?
Well, now, darling, there's no point in upsetting yourself. To such worriers, I say, have faith.
Dear, that was Helen Brooks. After last night, Nancy completely lost interest in Leonard.
Well, just as you predicted, your luck's holding out.
Well, luck had nothing to do with it. It was a sound theory. I knew it would work. Morning, Daddy.
Good morning, honey.
Morning, Mommy.
Morning, sweetheart. Oh, Mother, I didn't know a boy could be so fascinating.
Herbie, fascinating?
Well, it's not Herbie, Daddy. It's Leonard.
Nancy's older than you are.
Well, in years, maybe, but Leonard says it's maturity that counts. We just talked for hours last night. Nancy really doesn't understand Leonard.
Who does?
Oh, Daddy, and he understands me. Oh, I didn't think I should invite him to dinner without asking you first.
Oh, I'm delighted you did.
So he'll be here right after dinner.
Good morning.
No, you may not have another advance on your allowance. Alex, I don't think Mary should go out with that boy.
They're not going out. He's coming here.
I mean, I don't think she should see him at all. All that talk about Juliet being 14 years of age.
Would you like me to set up barricades on the front lawn?
You're taking this very lightly. Do you know what he told Mary the other day? That there are places in this world where girls her age assume all the responsibilities of adult life.
Seems to me I've read that somewhere, too. Maybe in Pennington Lopez.
you don't see any danger in Mary's crush on Leonard.
Only in the danger he might talk her to death.
And Helen said that his whole family is addicted to early elopements.
Oh, darling, I think we can rely on Mary's good judgment. Why, just the other day, there was a speaker at the PTA meeting urging parents to trust their teenage children. She's been there. I hear she was a smash. Oh, I'll get it. Be brave. Oh, good evening, Leonard.
Good evening, sir. This is my copy of the complete works of Pennington Lopez I promised to lend you.
Oh, thank you. I'll cherish it. Darling.
Yes.
You remember Leonard?
Yes. You made an indelible impression upon me the first time we met.
Thank you. I just lent Dr. Stone my copy of Pennington Lopez. I'd like you to feel free to read it too, Mrs. Stone. I think you'll find his views on juvenarchy especially interesting.
On what?
Well, civilization has failed in its search for leadership. Matriarchy and patriarchy have been tried and have failed. Juvenarchy is the rule of the young.
Are you sure we don't have that now?
Everyone agrees that the future belongs to the young. Why not the present?
Hello, Leonard.
Good evening, Mary.
Well, if you'll excuse us.
I just thought of a game that I'm sure Leonard would enjoy playing. Four of us can play.
I was up early, so if you don't mind.
Oh, darling, if you're tired, just go on upstairs. Three can play.
Well, Mother, I don't think Leonard wants to play a word game.
We can play two-handed.
Oh, I brought this album of records over to play for Mary tonight. Perhaps we could play the word game on Sunday afternoon.
Now, let's not rush into anything.
This is an album of recordings of nature music. I think you'll really find it interesting.
I'm sure I will, Leonard. I imagine it'll be awfully dull for you and Daddy, Mother. Snails moving and plants growing.
Oh, no, we'd love to hear it.
Why, I could leave the album with you.
Yes, and you can hear it any time you want.
Yes, maybe Sunday afternoon while we're playing the word game.
You'll excuse us, will you?
Yes, well, enjoy the music.
Good night, children.
Have fun.
It's a whole world of music that we never hear. Sounds made by insects, plant life. Sounds too faint to be heard by the unaided ear.
But don't you see, dear, it boils down to a matter of practicing what you preach. You can't act like a watchdog.
I suppose you're right. In a way, I'm being unfair to Mary.
Mm-hmm. Good night, darling.
Good night, dear. You're not going to sleep.
Why not?
But it's too early to go to sleep.
I promise to worry while I'm sleeping.
How about a good game of cribbage?
No, thank you, darling.
Would you like a nice warm glass of milk?
No, thank you.
Well, I would.
It's a precious thing not often found around here. It's called quiet, and I'm enjoying it.
Alex, I've thought this whole thing over very carefully, and I've decided that I've been behaving very foolishly.
Yes, of course, dear.
Alex...
Now, I agree, darling. Now go to bed.
Alex... I've been very foolish to allow that speech I made to interfere with my responsibility as a mother. Now, that boy is down there filling our daughter's head with a lot of silly and dangerous ideas, and I'm going to go down there right now and send him home.
Now, wait a minute, darling.
Come in.
I thought you'd still be up.
Where's Leonard?
I sent him home.
You threw him out?
What happened? Well, I'm sorry if I was rude, but... He just wouldn't take a hint. You know, I yawned every 2 minutes.
Well, just a few hours ago, you thought he was wonderful.
Well, that was before I really knew him. I guess I felt sorry for him because Nancy's mother was so mean to him.
Good morning, darling.
Oh, good morning, sweetheart.
Well, you have the happy look of vindication about you.
Well, it is nice to know that what I preached worked out in practice.
Morning, Daddy.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, dear.
You were on the phone rather long for so early in the morning.
Mm. Oh, well, it was Laurie Gilbert. They had a lot of excitement at her house, and she said the firemen are still all over the place.
They had a fire?
Oh. Well, no, what it was Laurie's kid brother and one of his friends. They almost blew up the house.
Well, why would they want to do a thing like that?
Well, what they wanted to do was launch a rocket into space, a homemade rocket with homemade fuel. Lori's father said they had enough explosives to blow up 2 houses.
I don't understand it. Where would the children get all those explosives?
Well, they were saving up for it. Of course, nobody knew what they were saving up for.
Jeff! You suppose that's what he was saving up for?
What are you talking about?
Hi, everybody.
Good morning,
morning
Jeff.
Jeff, what did you do with the money you were borrowing?
I used it to pay for the tailor's window that Freddie Barrow and I broke.
Is that all?
Well, why didn't you tell us right away? You didn't have to make a secret of it.
I'll get it.
Well, I know that, Dad, but You see, Freddie was afraid his folks would raise a fuss, and I figured I had to go along with him until the window was paid for. Now, I laid out Freddie's share, too, because he couldn't get the money from his folks without a lot of explaining. They don't trust their kids the way you do.
Mother, it was the Hilldale Women's Club. They heard so much about your speech that they want you to...
The answer is no.